Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, October the 30th, 2023. Ed Battagliano with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, and if folks are viewing us right now, they may be wondering, they're all dressed like winter.
Yeah.
Weather whiplash.
Got a freeze warning this week.
29 degrees. We've gone from 90 degree temperatures to, which is why we are heavily clothed this morning.
And Tim and I made every effort to dress exactly alike.
I didn't get the uniform.
Yeah.
Well, you need to get on our text group.
Oh, okay.
Because about 6:45 this morning, I texted and said, "What are you wearing today?" And so,
seriously, did you guys
same? We don't plan it this way.
We don't plan it.
God does.
But you are, these are identical.
Yeah, it's providential.
I did you get yours from Kohl's? That's what I
got mine from my wife. Okay. Wherever she got it.
So that's probably, we probably got it from the same place. My son, by the way, Tony, he gets embarrassed when we accidentally wear the same thing. A year or so ago,
because he works here. Yeah.
Yes. But we wore the same, at least the same color sweater for his daughter's recital a couple of years ago. Ballet, I think, or some sort of dance. I don't know.
Oh, it wasn't just a generic sort of black or brown.
It was like a white looking kind of sweater.
Where you like you planned it.
Yeah, and he just gets embarrassed. He just doesn't want to.
Look, you sit way over there, okay? Because we're not going to sit here like Twinkies.
I made him. Since I am still dad,
yeah.
I made him, I said, "You're going to take a picture with me like this." He's grown. He's got four kids, but he still had to do it.
Yeah, this is the first day I've had to break out the pullovers,
yeah.
I guess you say, pullovers from now. But anyway, what's happening, Fred, that you're alluding to is there is a cold front moving across the United States of America. And so... that is why we are dressed as we are. I was looking at the weather. 50. This is for Tupelo, Mississippi. Now 54 tomorrow, but 29 at
overnight.
Night.
Mm-hmm.
29 tonight. 29 tomorrow night. Is it, that's more. That's a frost. That kills the grass and the plants, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why I put the faucet cover on this morning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to remember to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Faucet cover.
But then, hey, life, if by Friday, back up 68, 75, 77, 79.
Welcome to Mississippi.
Yeah, I like that kind of weather. That's what we're talking about right now. Well, we hope you're having good weather wherever you may be living, and we thank you for tuning in to American Family Radio. Frederick, what shall you start the news day with here?
All right. Well, you know, it's been less than four weeks since the massacre there in southern Israel. 1,400 Israeli men, women, and children, yes, massacred. Some of the families of those who were killed are still getting the details. One of the things that came out last week, and one of the Fox anchors was briefed on this, these Hamas terrorists, as they were going house to house in these kibbutz in southern Israel, called his mom and dad and say, "Mom and dad, I just killed 10 Jews." That just gives you an example of a mentality that we cannot understand. For a few days, there was great sympathy for those families who lost those loved ones. But what is amazing is how quickly around the world, that whole sentiment, feeling sorry, trying to understand this massacre of Israeli men, women, and children, the focus now of the mainstream media, it's all about Palestinians. And what we're seeing in this country and around the world is an increasing hatred of Israel. In less than 4 weeks since this massacre of Israeli citizens, we're seeing on university campuses here, Cornell University, they had to alert authorities there because the Jewish Center at Cornell, there were threats against the lives of Jewish students. The big protests in New York again on the weekend. In Brooklyn, authorities told Jews in Brooklyn, don't distinguish yourself as a Jewish person. I guess don't wear the headwear, whatever the case may be. And then we're seeing these in Russia yesterday. Some Israeli citizens were trying to get out of Israel, flying to a location in Russia. Somehow people there got word that the Israeli citizens were coming in, and they basically took over an airport. There was a rampage at the airport. The Israeli aircraft diverted midair to another airport, but there were protesters waiting there, chanting death to Israel. We're seeing this all over the Arab world. And outside of that, Australia, other countries. It is just hard to imagine what is going on right now for the nation of Israel and for Jewish people. All the condemnation now is about Israel. That's where we are.
Yeah, you know, let me ask you this question, or let's ask ourselves this question. What other country in the world, if their citizens were ambushed and slaughtered, 1,400 of them, and that country decided, you know what, we're going to find out who did this, and we're going to take them out. What other country would be condemned or told to cease fire or to stop? Where would this happen? If Mexico came across the border, Mexico came across the border in El Paso or in wherever and butchered and slaughtered 1,400 American citizens, you think our president or our citizens or our military would say, you know what, we need to dial it back. We need a ceasefire. We need to stop. Who would expect that? Nobody would expect that. And yet here we are, Ed, with most of the world seemingly going, Israel needs to stop. They don't need to do anything more about this than they've already done.
Yeah, and I see several groups that are doing exactly what you're saying in the West. And I'll just speak about the United States. I see the progressive elite, many of them, not all of them.
Now, these people are doing what now?
That are condemning Israel.
Right.
Okay, now
I will say this.
There's a lot of Democrats who are not doing that, including the president at this point.
True.
But in terms of elites on college campuses, you have a lot of college kids doing it. And then everywhere else, it's Muslims. All right. In overseas, in Germany said we're not going to have pro-Palestinian protests. The Muslims there ignored what the government was saying. In France, in the United States, in Brooklyn. I mean, everywhere you turn around, the Muslim community worldwide has been stirred up in their ancient hatreds towards the Jews.
Yes.
And are pushing radical ideas about the Jewish people that we have not seen out in public without apology since the Holocaust, which ironically is the reason why a Jewish state exists in its ancient homelands in Israel, was because of the Holocaust.
Okay, we're being told that these political left Westerners and the Muslims who are condemning Israel are being told that the Jews need to get off Palestinian land. That's the problem. From river to the sea, Israel needs to leave. The Jews need to get out of what's called Israel. That's the only way that there'll be peace in the region.
Right.
That's what we're being told. And if that's the standard, then really the Jews can claim to be native to that land.
Right.
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 They can claim that their land was stolen from them.
Yes.
Or given away because they really are the inhabitants or the inheritance of Abraham.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, Is that what's the standard here? How far back in history are we going to go where you say, because what they're saying is what the claim of the Muslim world is basically, and these Western lefties, is that the Jews are on occupied land.
Right.
Right. This land really belongs to the Palestinians. So the Jews need to, the only way this ends is all the Jews die. So they're going to be up, or they leave, they get off our land.
Right.
That's their approach that they take. That's the ideas that they put.
And that's why when the Bible talks about the fact that in the end times there will be hostility against Israel, that's why you see all these primarily Arab and Muslim countries pointing their hostility towards Israel, because Islam cannot allow infidels, I'm using air quotes, infidels to own land once owned by Muslims. So the Muslims say it doesn't matter if Israel was there first. Islam took the land, and therefore it is always Muslim land, and the Jewish state has to go.
Okay. Is the opposite true anywhere? In other words, was there land that once belonged to non-Muslims that Muslims took over, and now they should give it back?
No. Nope.
Based on the... What?
The opposite is not true. In fact, everywhere there are Muslims today, those Muslim communities exist there because they took the land from other people.
But based on the standard of Israel and the Jews, right, they should give it back because they're on occupied land.
Yeah, no, not if you are an adherent to the religion of Islam.
Okay.
This is why there will never be true peace in that part of the world. We know from Bible prophecy that is true. But just from a political standpoint, there is no solving this. Real Muslims cannot allow Israel to exist. Right. And the honest ones actually say that.
Right.
Out loud.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, we could these folks need to just, some of them do. It's not about land. Iran, and I saw a demonstration from other Malaysia and Indonesia and
Pakistan,
mm-hmm. where I don't know how many people, but thousands of people were protesting against Israel. These people have no connection to Israel or right. to the Palestinian people, the Arab.
They don't border Muslim. Israel.
No, what do they care? But no, it's just condemnation of the Jews. They might as well just come out and say, we've got a proclamation to sign. Who would like to sign it? Here's what the proclamation reads. We hate Jews. They all should die, period. That's our proclamation. Who wants to sign it?
And no one's going to put a proclamation like that out because you'd have a lot of Muslims signing it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my point. That's really what this is about. It isn't about a small piece of
right.
It is in the historical sense that you've made it. That is that the Muslims want the infidel, the Jews here in this case, off Muslim land.
Right.
But it's really about just raw, unadulterated hatred for the Jewish people.
Right. And they
hate Christians too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the end, yep. but the Jews just happen to be in Israel, that part of the world right now. The other thing here is these same people really hate the West.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they hate the Jews, and they hate the existence of Israel,
mm-hmm.
but they hate Western civilization.
Yes, yes.
Too, and I mean it's almost self-loathing somewhat for Americans to be, they're against capitalism. They call it colonialism.
Right.
When you see what Israel is, so it's just
but,
go ahead.
But there's been I just go back to when Barack Obama was running for president. Going to change the country, going to change the world. There is a large element in this country, and I think it's part of the student protests that we're seeing on campuses. But also, Mark Thiessen, I think he worked for the Bush administration. He was on Fox this morning. There's been a poll of Democrats since October the 7th. We have praised the way President Joe Biden certainly initially has responded right behind Israel. Anything Israel needs. Joe Biden has lost support significantly amongst Democrats since October the 7th. Mark Thiessen addresses this morning, cut number six.
There's a Gallup poll that just came out that shows that Biden's, since the war in Israel has started, Biden's support among Democrats has plummeted 11 points, down to 75%, which is really bad. And that tracks with the fact that support for Israel in the Democratic Party is at an all-time low. There was a Gallup poll earlier this year that shows 49% of Democrats support Palestine, the Palestinians, over Israel. And Mark's own poll that just came out recently shows that 46% of Democrats draw moral equivalence between Hamas and Israel. Not the Palestinians in Israel, Hamas, the terrorists, and Israel. So the Democratic Party has a big problem, which is that they've tolerated the rise of anti-Semitism in their ranks. And right now, Republicans don't think Biden's doing enough. A lot of Democrats think he's doing too much to support Israel, and that's going to hurt him.
Yeah, now that's frightening. Okay, so let's think about this, folks. What if Joe Biden begins to pay attention to those polls and withdraws our carrier strike forces from the Mediterranean?
Yeah.
And in essence says, Israel, if you don't declare a ceasefire, if you don't stop what you're doing in Gaza, we're withdrawing our forces. That leaves Israel all by itself, which, in a sense, that's what the Bible. That would be a horrific, for that part of the world, that would be a horrific turn of events. But according to what Mark Thiessen is saying, that isn't beyond the pale.
No.
To have the Biden administration, in order to save face with almost half of the Democratic Party, that is anti-Israel and pro-Palestinian, in order to save face, what if they tell Israel, you either make a deal and stop, which Israel can't do because this will happen again, or we'll withdraw our forces. Man, that's scary.
Well, we had a statement from Biden National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on the weekend. He said Israel should take responsibility for protecting innocent civilians in Gaza, even though Hamas is using them as human shields.
Was that last part his quote too?
It was Jake Sullivan.
Are you saying that?
Jake Sullivan.
What was the entire quote?
What? This is according to a Fox News story. He says Israel should take responsibility for protecting innocent civilians in Gaza, even though Hamas is using them as human shields. This is a story from Fox.
He said that all the way to the end with that quote?
No,
even though they're using them as shields?
The part we're asking, Fred, is even if they're using, is that you or is that him?
Let me give you the quote, all right?
Okay.
Sullivan appeared on CNN's State of the Union saying the Israeli government should take every possible action to distinguish terrorists from civilians during its ongoing operations. Quote, Hamas is making life extremely difficult for Israel by taking civilians as human shields and putting their rocket infrastructure and terrorist infrastructure among civilians, Sullivan said. That creates an added burden for Israel, but it does not lessen Israel's responsibility under international humanitarian law to distinguish between terrorists and civilians and protect lives of innocent people, end quote.
Wow. Well, I mean, you're just giving Israel an impossible task.
Talking about a forked tongue.
Yeah.
How can you do that?
You can't. It's impossible. No other army would be. Was Hamas asked this? Hamas? Have they told Hamas this?
Oh, no.
Hamas, you must distinguish between Israel's military and civilians. When they cut their throats, the other
decapitated.
Decapitated.
Burned them.
Yes. Burned them. Tortured them. Now have 250. Did they say that about Hamas? Hamas, you should distinguish between. No, they didn't say this. It's completely and totally all one-sided.
Yeah,
and listen. When you have an enemy who is hiding behind people underneath hospitals, and they use that to their advantage, then you tell the people who are trying, like Israel, you're trying to win a war to stop terrorism against you, and you tell them, well, you have one of your allies, your chief ally, the United States, nitpicking your daily moves in response to and your military actions in response to this. It seems untenable and unreasonable.
You know, if I was on a CNN panel, which will never happen, I would ask Jake Sullivan this question. Okay. How do you do that?
Yeah. Was he asked that? Do you even know?
No.
No. How do you do that? Tell us how you do that, Mr. Sullivan.
Yes. How do you stop the Hamas terrorists from doing this again and again and again?
When he was the one who just said in that quote that Hamas hides behind innocent people.
Yes. So
ridiculous.
The only way to do what Jake Sullivan is suggesting is that Israel would have to withdraw its forces and just say, I guess we're just going to go on with life.
Yeah. You know what? I think Israel's taking the approach that they have to take, and that is, listen, we're going to clean out this nest of vipers.
Right.
And we don't care if the whole world condemns us. And you know what? If the whole world wants to attack us because of our decision to defend ourselves and our country and our citizens right here, then so be it. And we'll take the consequences as they come, or we'll dish them out.
Well, you know, to that point, I was talking to Fred before the show. I was looking at an article here from the UK, The Express. It says Erdogan, Recep Erdogan, the Turkish president, has threatened to declare war on Israel and send its military to Gaza. Because, in fact, said that Turkey can come at any night unexpectedly. By the way, that's really what Jesus will do as a thief in the night, Mr. Erdogan.
So the president of Turkey is threatening war with Israel.
Yes, threatening to declare war against Israel, and has framed Hamas as, quote, freedom fighters.
What kind of freedom are they fighting for, would be my question.
From oppression by Israel.
Okay.
That's, well, I'm filling in the blank.
I know. Listen, these countries really don't care about the Palestinian people. They claim to. They're hiding behind that because they really just rank. It's just a rank hatred for Jews.
Right.
Okay. Otherwise, so you got Egypt, you have Saudi Arabia, you have Jordan. Those are Arab countries who are Muslim Arab countries. In other words, their religion and their culture is just like the Palestinians, which is the Arab Muslims in Gaza. So instead of having the world, if they really cared about these people, instead of having the world on tinkering on World War III, they could say, you know what, we'll give these people, we got vast amount of land in Saudi Arabia, at least, and in Egypt, and we will welcome our brothers, and we ask the world to help, and I'm sure the world would help pay for settlement of some kind. It'd be better than what they say that they live in now in Gaza. But no, Egypt says no, Jordan says no, Saudi Arabia says no. I guarantee you Turkey would say no. Turkey, would you take in some of these refugees? Nope, they probably won't. Because they don't care about the people, really. They just want to use that as an opportunity to attack Israel.
Which is what Hamas is doing. They don't care about their own people either.
Right.
Or they would not hide amidst the civilian population.
Right.
Knowing that they'll get slaughtered in a counterstrike.
Right. All right, we're going to take a... by the way, Kirk Cameron will be on with us in just a little bit here on American Family Radio. Fred Jackson here with Ed Battagliano and Tim Wildman. You're listening to AFR. The program is Today's Issues. We shall return momentarily with more of the program. Former Vice President Mike Pence has dropped out of the presidential race, and probably be a few more over the next few weeks. Larry Elder, the fellow from California.
Right. He suspended his campaign as well.
Supporting Trump.
I don't know why he ever entered the race in the first place. Suspending his campaign. When did it start? Be back momentarily.
If you're like most of us, you're paying way too much for healthcare. That's why I want to tell you about a ministry that has been meeting the healthcare needs of hundreds and thousands of Christians, and that's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is cost-sharing made easy. For over 40 years, this unique model has allowed believers to choose their own doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they are not insurance, but a faith-based alternative to insurance. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. It all starts with a visit to chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR. Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving health share ministry serving all 50 states. Share the good news with a friend, too. chministries.com/AFR. Make the switch today with anytime enrollment. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off, because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Get involved today.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. We thank you for listening to AFR. Kirk Cameron coming up in just a minute. Before the break, we mentioned former Vice President Mike Pence has dropped out. Yeah, he was running campaign, trying to win the Republican nomination. But as we've said here before, he was in political no man's land.
Right.
A lot of the people who support former President Trump, they consider Mike Pence to be a Benedict Arnold, basically, because he didn't stop the certification of the election.
2020 election.
Yeah. So where does he get his support from, if not from... You got Trump still running, so
right.
Where are you going to get your support from? And it was minuscule, 2-3% maybe of the Republican voters?
Single digits, yeah.
And he gave it his best shot in the two debates thus far, but right. Was not able to get any kind of traction.
No. And then Larry Elder, the radio talk show host from California, he dropped out, although a lot of people didn't know that
he had dropped in.
He dropped in. That was really strange, I thought, because, and I like him when I've heard him on Fox News and other places, very smart guy. But I thought, okay, let me get this straight. You announce you're running for president in the summer, you drop out, and then you endorse Trump. Mm-hmm. I'm going, why did you run against Trump in the first place?
Right.
There must have been a reason you didn't think Trump was a good guy to run for to be the president, or you wouldn't run against him.
Right.
So it's kind of odd. I'm not saying Larry Elder does this, but some of these folks do this, I think, just to get their profile raised, and they know they don't have to have a dog chance, okay? But they get them on TV and maybe get them in a debate or two, and they can sell more books.
Yeah. Former presidential candidate.
Get more appearances. I mean, why else would you do it? because I would have thought Larry Elder would have said, you know, I'm not endorsing anybody. I ran because I thought I was the best guy, and I didn't believe Trump was, or I wouldn't have run.
Right.
Not I endorse Trump now that I've been running for. That's just ridiculous, in my opinion, to have that approach. Don't run in the first place. Just say I endorse Trump back in June.
Right.
Okay. But who knows why? Sometimes.
Well, they now you shot a hole in my plans to announce that I was running.
Are you withdrawing too?
I guess I'll withdraw.
Hey, why don't you announce that? Announce today.
Fill out the paperwork,
and then we'll interview you. And then tomorrow, you say you're going to suspend your campaign, and then you endorse whoever you want to endorse.
Right.
Okay. Whoever will pay you the most money. That's who you'll endorse.
And then write a book.
And then write a book about your experience as a president, 24 hours as a presidential candidate, Ed.
It'll be a short book.
You were able to crack the Italian-American vote. You were on your way, but DeSantis already had that one wrapped up. Anyway, that leaves basically former President Trump is way ahead in all the polls among Republican voters. That's clear. But now the two people, they're way behind, but the two people that people are saying, you know, have the ground forces, I guess you could say, and enough money to be able to keep going in a legitimate way would be the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, and the former governor of South Carolina, and Nikki Haley.
Yes. Right.
Those are the two people who seem to be, and they're going to be on the debate stage in Florida. They're sort of vying for that second place, and it's way back, second place. But we will see what happens there. When is that debate, Fred?
I believe November the 8th, which is a week from this Wednesday.
Okay. Is Trump going to go there or not?
I doubt it. He's missed the first two. I'm not sure why.
But he didn't go the first two, but I didn't know if he had announced whether he would go, because that one's in Miami, just an hour from his home.
It is. I kind of doubt it, but who knows? We're talking about Donald Trump.
Now, Trump did say that he said before he will watch the debates, and then he will choose among those who dance before him, who he might select as his VP. I'm not making that up. That's what he said.
No, that's right.
He said he might consider him as his VP. Mm-hmm. Depending on how he feels and how they do. Of course, he's mocking them. And then he said Nikki Haley, he keeps calling her bird brain. I don't know if that's a winner for attracting independent women. But anyway, we'll see what happens there in the third debate coming up November the what?
November 8th. The 8th.
November the 8th. Mm-hmm. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Well, our good friend Kirk Cameron, who's not running for president as far as we know, is on the phone with us from somewhere. How you doing, Kirk?
Hey, Tim. Is it the wild man himself?
This is him. It's like the Wolfman Jack. So, the wild man,
It's good to talk to you, brother. I'm in Tennessee, actually, right now. And I've been listening to you on the radio here. You know, just as a point of interest, since, you know, nobody gets to answer some of these things when they're listening on the radio. If I had to make a defense for Larry Elder, what I could probably think of is, hey, if he understands that he's not going to win the nomination, perhaps he's thinking to himself, well, you know, what we need to do is we need to get behind the candidate who we believe can win the election for the party, for the values, for the future of our country. And since he's not going to be able to do that, eventually all of the primary candidates are going to get behind the main guy or the main girl, right? I think he's just doing that early. Do you think
he could have done that? He could have done that in June. He didn't have to run for president to do that.
Yeah, that's true. But you could say that about all of the other primary candidates as well. They really want to win, but once they realize that they're out, they're probably going to get behind the main guy that they know can win for the party.
Don't agree. Don't agree. Nikki Haley and Governor DeSantis, Tim Scott, I certainly don't agree. Probably Vice President Pence, too. They thought they had a shot. But then when former President Trump started getting indicted, his numbers shot up, way up, and he hasn't lost support since. So
yeah,
I just think Larry Elder, and like I said, smart guy. I like him when I've seen him. But you don't have to run for president in June to know you're not don't have a dog's chance. He must have thought something was wrong with Trump, or he wouldn't announce I'm going to oppose him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So what was wrong with Trump in June?
If Nikki Haley and DeSantis end up losing the nomination and then they get behind Trump, will you say the same thing about them?
No, because I think it's totally different. I think they have ground forces.
They have a real chance.
They thought they did. Yeah, well, they thought.
Yeah, I'm just saying maybe Larry Elder thinks that he really did.
Okay, Kirk. All right.
I'm just trying to think. You know, a guy like that. I think he's a man of integrity, and maybe it's a political stunt just to raise ratings. But I don't know him that well, and so I'm thinking, well, maybe he tried, and now he's out, and now he's trying to get behind the guy he thinks can actually move things forward.
Okay. Hey, what's your new book? What's your new book about, brother? Your new book is out.
This new book is all about loving your enemies. And I heard just such a great little piece here before we came on about doing unto others. And, you know, with the world on fire right now in the Middle East and Ukraine and Russia and here in the United States politically, we've got to give our kids a strategy that will give them some hope. And so I wrote this new book called The Fox, The Fair, and The Invention Scare. And it's all about feuding families that find a better way based on what Jesus said, not to hate your enemies, but love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. And then you'll be like your Father in heaven. So I'm really excited about it. And I'm hoping that people will get their hands on it and teach their kids to stop hating one another, or else we're just going to blow the world up. We got to find a better way.
Kirk, Ed Vitagliano here. This is another book from Brave Books, correct? And this approach that you're taking in writing children's books, I think is not only is it biblical, but I think it's very wise because that's the next generation. And the other side clearly takes seriously the teaching and instruction of children. Whether it's in public schools or on television, on Disney programs, they clearly believe that children can learn a worldview. This is a very wise approach that you're taking. What's the reception been like for the series of books, children's books that you've been writing?
Well, the reception has been good, but what you just said is just, it is so insightful. I think you're exactly right. The progressives, the left, those who are looking to fundamentally change the value set in America, I think they take Deuteronomy chapter 6 more seriously than the family of faith in many cases, because they're training up our children in the way they think they should go when they rise in the morning, walk along the way, and go to sleep at night. And we're complicit in it when we send them to public schools and pay for it with our own tax dollars. So they're doing it right. They've picked up our biblical playbook and they're running the plays better than we are when we think we can compete with a 1 hour Sunday school class up against 7 hours a day, 5 days a week in a government school. So good for you for pointing that out. And I see parents all over the country waking up. They're coming out of the woodwork. They're recognizing that we have really missed the boat. And they're wanting to take back education for the sake of the future of their kids. And they're either pulling them out of school or they're going to school board meetings and standing up, or they're home educating their children, putting them in private schools, and understanding that Christianity is not just about an Awana class. Christianity is about math and history and science and media and movies and music and TV and everything else. We've got to create a comprehensive worldview that encompasses all of society and culture. And that's why I appreciate American Family Radio and all that you guys are doing to help fill that out and unpack that for us.
Kirk, Fred Jackson here. I want to get your comments on what we've been talking about earlier in the program today, among other things, the protests against Israel on so many university campuses, and beyond just a simple protest, but calling for the elimination of the Israeli state. You've been looking at our country's education system now for a long time and kind of outlining for us the problems that you see. But a lot of people are just astounded that it's almost a cancer that has broken out on our university campuses of hatred against Jewish people and hatred against the Jewish state. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I'm just as grieved and as concerned as you or anybody is about this. But again, great revivals in America and in other countries have happened on university campuses. They're revolutions of ideas, and it can either go from good biblical ideas to horrible progressive ideas, which in reality are regressive, back to old pagan ungodly ways, or they're revolutions of ideas that go from pagan worldviews to biblical worldviews. And that was the Reformation, right? That was the Great Awakening here in America and in Europe. And now we're seeing a Great Awakening or a revival of these Marxist socialist ideas in the West. And that's the way you really do it, is you get the young people who are passionate, who want to change the world. They want to know who they are, their identity, their purpose. They want to be revolutionaries and make a lasting difference, leave a legacy. The problem is, this is what happens when we think we can do education without God at the center. Mm-hmm. Without the sun, all the planets drift into space. If they're not orbiting around the sun, they lose their way and they get sucked into any black hole that draws them in. And that's what's happening to our kids. Through education, they've lost their way because God is no longer the centerpiece that holds everything together.
Yeah.
But we can get back to that. And that's what I'm trying to do through these books. That's what you're doing through American Family Radio. And that's what a lot of other people are beginning to do because their eyes are opening up.
I would also say that certainly the secular-minded educational system that millions of kids are exposed to, but I'll also add what just as powerful to me as pop culture that is anti-God in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
We see that influence too, right, Kirk?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It is. It's not just godless. It's anti-God.
Right.
And I guess even more specific, we could even say that, you know, it's a false God that's replacing the true God in the hearts and minds of these kids. And we become our own standard. We become the ones who get to define sexuality, relationships, love, marriage, and education. If we remove God, we're going to replace God with something else. And that'll be secular humanism. That'll be Islam. That'll be atheism, whatever. And that's a bad deal. Mm-hmm. We know where that leads because history's told us. And what we need to get back to is God's good and glorious standards found in his word.
The title of Kirk Cameron's new book is The Fox, the Fair, and the Invention Scare. And Brave Books is where you can get it, or any of Kirk's books. So you're in Tennessee, like you're in Nashville area or somewhere? Where are you?
That's right. I'm in Nashville.
Okay.
And I'm learning my Southern. You know, we've been working on that since we've been friends, Tim.
Yeah.
I've been learning how to use y'all in a sentence, and I might could, and fixing to.
Now, if you can learn to use fixing on a regular basis and it sound natural, I think you'll blend in. I really do.
Yeah, I might could do it if I keep practicing. And, you know, Tim,
sound like you're
heard
mocking
a joke.
Us, so.
I heard a joke. You know, Tim, you're so Southern. You know how Southern you are?
How's that, Kurt?
You're so Southern, you hold your pants up with a Bible belt.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. Okay. Well, listen, you go get you some turnip greens and mashed taters, all right?
All right,
Kirk.
Bro.
All right.
All right. Love you guys.
All right. Get out the Cracker Barrel. Okay, all right.
Okay. See you. We'll do it. Waffle House after that.
right. Hey, you're getting scary good at this, brother. Yeah.
Thank you, Kurt.
I know. I tell you. All right. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, all right.
Great work.
Appreciate you.
I tell you, these regional stereotypes are hurtful.
you think what he was just saying is a regional stereotype? Cracker Barrel followed up by Waffle House?
They have Waffle House in Chicago.
Do they?
Yeah, you just walk in, you get your car jacked, you come back out, you call a ride.
Get carjacked.
But you get to watch the carjacking while you're inside.
While you're...
The Waffle House.
Can I get it, man? Can I get another cup of coffee?
Right, I'm going to be here a while. They just took off four of my tires. Oh, man.
I think I'm going back. I'm going back to Nashville.
I've done the same thing that I said was hurtful to me.
Yes.
I have taken Chicago and have given people a stereotype.
Right.
Right? Not all Chicago's riddled with
carjackers.
Carjackers and criminals. Just most of it. All right. We need to reset this show. Today's Issue is the name of the program. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. We're a serious program, news program.
Sometimes we are. Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes we're serious. Listen, this is, folks, I know we do every once in a while get a comment, comments at AFR.net.
Yeah.
That's critical of the levity that we sometimes have here. Y'all joke around too much.
The world's on fire.
The world's on fire. Well, you know what, folks? It's the only way we can report on the world being on fire on a regular basis.
Right.
Is we do have a little bit of fun.
Got to. All right. Fred, what's our next story?
I tell you what, in the midst of all the bad stuff going on in this world, I was blessed last week when Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana was elected the House Speaker, and I listened to his first speech. And I knew a little bit about him before he won that race for House Speaker last week. Tony Perkins knows him well from Washington Watch, Tony being from Louisiana also. But I was blessed by Congressman Mike Johnson, now House Speaker Mike Johnson. He was not afraid to talk about his Christian faith. He spoke openly about it, not ashamed. What a refreshing kind of speech coming out of the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it was a rocky road getting to that point there last week, but a lot of people are saying, you know what, God's hand was in that. I think if there had been a bet on who would get the House Speaker job, people would have said maybe Jim Jordan,
right,
or Scalise. But Mike Johnson wasn't on anybody's radar.
Right.
But all of a sudden he was. And a lot of folks are saying, this is the kind of man who is needed for such a time as this. And he doesn't back down. He had prayer with the Republicans. It was amazing to see. But I also predicted with all of that, what he had to say, what I was seeing, that the mainstream media would go ballistic. We saw a demonstration of this on the weekend. Jen Psaki, who used to be Biden's White House spokesperson, has her own show now on MSNBC, I think it is. And she did not waste any time on the weekend going after Mike Johnson for his Christian beliefs and trying to paint those beliefs as a threat to the nation. Have a listen. Here's a little bit of Jen Psaki. You'll hear a little bit of Speaker Johnson and her reaction to it. Cut number 8.
First glance, Mike Johnson does seem fine, fine-ish. Conservative, yes, but he once started a civility caucus with a Democrat. And I mean, if nothing else, he wears a suit and has glasses. How threatening can this guy actually be? Well, he gave us all a little clue as to how he would govern in an interview this week.
I am a Bible-believing Christian. Someone asked me today in the media, they said, it's curious. People are curious. What does Mike Johnson think about any issue under the sun? I said, well, go pick up a Bible off your shelf and read it. That's my worldview.
You heard that right. The Bible doesn't just inform his worldview. It is his worldview. In fact, during his first speech in his new job, Johnson suggested that his election as speaker was an act of God. Talk about a bit of a humble brag there.
Listen, that kind of thing that we just heard from Jen Psaki, and then she went on for, I think, almost 4 minutes, basically criticizing Mike Johnson and his Christian beliefs. First of all, you want to ask Jen Psaki, so can we make certain assumptions about atheists who are in Congress, or people who may not be atheists but are agnostic, or who are secular? Are you going to criticize the members of the House of Representatives who are Muslim?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna examine the Islamic beliefs that they hold. When you're on a network like that, and you said she's on MSNBC, when you're on a network like that, you are playing to, admittedly, a very small crowd, a very small sliver of the U.S. population, but you are playing to the crowd that hates God and therefore hates Christianity and thinks if you are a Christian and you are in the House of Representatives, you need to toss that into your backpack when you do government business. Mm-hmm. And Christianity should never inform your beliefs or the way you vote. But she's got her own show, so she can say whatever she wants without being challenged.
But I think we just entered a stage, too, that politicians and all politicians bring their convictions, bring their worldview into the legislation that
right.
they want. But what she's saying, he just told us that his biblical worldview, what he believes about the Bible, what he reads in the Bible, she is saying because he lives according to those values, he is a threat.
She used the word threat.
To this country.
Right.
And it's not just Mike Johnson, folks. I believe many Democrats believe Christians in general, Bible-believing Christians, are a threat to this country.
Oh, yeah. That's the old line. They've been using that for a long time, by they being the secular lefties in this country. We're the ones people should be scared of and worried about. The people who believe in the Bible.
Right.
What she's insinuating about Mike Johnson is he's going to use the Bible and force everybody in the House of Representatives to be baptized.
Right.
And furthermore, if he's Baptist, they're going to have to be dunked. submersed in front of the House of Representatives, and that's the only way they're going to be able to
right.
maintain any kind of
role.
Because
we know all Christians are theocrats.
Right.
They want to establish a theocracy.
That's exactly what they want you to believe about
right.
people like us.
Right.
So they scare people by saying these people are going to use the Bible to force the Bible on everybody,
right?
Which is ridiculous, but that's how they scare people into not liking us or hating us.
Right.
The facts. We'll be back in some cases. We'll be back more carefully.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.